following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Husker Lunch edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, live from Cunningham's Journal. We're glad to have you along with us, where there's a lot to talk about again today with Husker football. Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com will be here. He'll join us at the end of our Doug and Daddy program, and then we'll turn it over to the folks here at Cunningham's from 12 to 1. We invite you to come down anytime over the next couple of hours, enjoy lunch, and then hear what Sean has to say. He'll talk Miami. Of course, he'll talk Illinois in the start of the Big Ten season, some recruiting. The best part is he'll answer all of your questions, so if you've got some Nebraska football questions, throw those out to Sean. And David Santos, kind of the story this morning, maybe out. No one really knows for sure. He didn't practice yesterday, had a pretty big brace on his knee. He was probably Nebraska's best player on defense against Miami on Saturday night. And you're at that point of the season where you just don't want there to be problems, injuries, and things like that, even though there will be some as they get ready to take on Illinois. And, of course, this has to be one of those games where you say, you know what, if we're going to have a couple guys banged up, it just will be this game, not Michigan State, not a top-tier Wisconsin and Iowa, so one of the so-called tougher games on your schedule. But we'll be talking about that and everything else that's going on with the Huskers. Of course, Wednesday, it's also our Loper Link. Brady Bonzel, UNK cross-country coach, is going to give us an update after they opened the season down in Lincoln at the Woody Greeno invite over the weekend and what's coming up in the near future for them. And Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report will join us to chat about where we are in the high school football season and what is still to come for this week. If you haven't been in districts and C&D, you're going to be in them this week. And A&B keeps rolling along as well as Class A district games get going. Of course, Class B a little bit different with just that last 3 to 4 weeks of the season really involving that. So those are our guests coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show today, and we'll be covering all things Huskers, Lopers, Broncos, and we'll take a look at the high school scene as well, getting closer to the Major League Baseball playoffs. We'll update you on where the Royals stand, things looking even better, and of course there's college volleyball going on tonight. Saw UNK play last night, a three-setter, straight set went over Emporia State, kind of like they've been doing though. They crushed Emporia in the first set 25-9, and then they have to fight like the Dickens just to win game two. They were down mostly the whole set, and they won it 25-23. Same story in game three, and they won it 25-21. They will be on the road for a pair of games this weekend. But right now, our Loper Link brought to you by Charter West National Bank. Kearney, you have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at Charter West National Bank. All the Lopers are keeping real busy. In fact, we've even got basketball schedules to tell you about. But the Loper cross-country team started the season finishing third on the men's side, seventh on the women's side in the college division at the annual Woody Greeno, Nebraska invite Saturday in Lincoln, and head coach Brady Bonzel joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show to chat about it. Brady, good morning. Thanks for the time.
No problem. How are you guys doing?
Well, I'm doing good, and you know, I'm going right to the chase here. I mean, anytime I can pick up a press release here or look at some results or watch any sporting event, and you've got an Ord Chanticleer out there, you know, that's got to warm the cockles of that Burwell Longhorn heart.
Yeah, we try not to hold that against Andrew. The fact, you know, I say, what's it like to go to a high school where you get to wear a zero on your letter jacket and your mascot, the chicken. But, you know, he's running well, so I don't really care so much about his background, I guess.
Well, let's talk about your thoughts. I know you guys have been waiting and waiting to get the season started, really the last fall sports team to get some live competition. We said how they finished. That's not necessarily a big deal, but it's better to be towards the top than the bottom in every race. So how do you think things went Saturday?
Right, yeah, you know, and as you said, we start a little bit late than everybody else, and probably, you know, we kind of fly under the radar for the first month of school, you know, not a lot of publicity or anything like that. We just work out, we have a time trial. Some teams do start out the year with an early season meet, but that has more to do with trying to jump through all the NCAA hoops in terms of minimum number of competitions in a season. I think most people would probably rather just wait longer like we do. So I choose to wait a little bit longer, and then we have to do a few more meets once we get started, but I feel comfortable about that. So, you know, on the men's side, again, yeah, Andrew Field, who's a freshman for us from Oregon, ended up being our number one guy. Will he do that every week or every meet? I don't know for sure on that. I wouldn't be surprised at all with the depth we have on the men's side if amongst our top four or five guys is kind of interchangeable in terms of where people are. I think just the goal is when we get to the end of the season for us to accomplish the things that we want to accomplish, it's going to be a matter of all of them running well at the same time. So not just Andrew, but guys like Brian Hill and John Landrigan and Alex Obermeyer and Cole Wellnitz, and the list goes on. Really, there's 7-8 guys on our team who have the ability to contribute at a pretty high level for us. On the women's side, you know, we're young. We lost 6 of our top 7 from last year when we were MIAA runner-ups, so I knew we were going to be a little short on depth. And we've taken some dings right away, just and even some non-running related injuries or health issues that some of our gals are dealing with, stuff that's outside of their control. So the fall could be a little bit rough for our women's team, but from the long-term perspective, I feel great. It's a very talented team. As we get to second semester, we'll pick up a couple 50-year seniors who didn't have cross-country eligibility left who are All-American national qualifying types. So it has been a time of adversity right away for some of our freshmen on the women's side, but it's a great class. A ton of character already being shown with that crew. So I'm excited about them long term for sure.
Brady Bonsall, UNK cross country and track and field coach, joining us here on Loper Link on the Doug and Daddy Show on this Wednesday. Coach, talk about the transition. Every coach talks about going from high school to college or college to the pros or heck, junior high to high school. When these freshmen come in, they're looking at different races, different competition. How do you, if you can, coach them up for that transition?
Yeah, and a lot of it is honestly just the experience. There's only so much you can do to prepare them for the scenario where, okay, I know you have never been outside of fifth or sixth in a cross-country meet in your life, and now you're going to be in a race with 300 people where you might be in 100th, but running amazing, you know, because it just feels different. It doesn't necessarily feel like they're doing well. The racing is different. The racing at the front is different than the racing in the back. You just have more people closer together in the middle of the pack, and so you'll have 10 people go by you at once, but then you'll pass 10 people right back, and that doesn't happen when you're up front in a pack of 5 in the lead pack. And so they're all experienced with that type of experience. They're not necessarily experienced with those big races. So that, along with, I mean, the transition as a freshman is more than just racing. It's a transition to a new coach, a way of training that's different from whatever they did in high school. Not that one's better than the other or right or wrong, but just different. Transition in terms of where they're eating and how they find the different things that they need nutritionally, just all those things, the trust level that has to develop. I think one of the benefits of the adversity that we've dealt with on the women's side is I think we've more quickly, I've been able to, with different people on the team, different newcomers, that trust level has started to develop much more quickly because it's been forced. You know, okay, there's adversity, we're having to deal with this, who do I go to about that? And as we talk things through, so that, you know, again, long-term, that might actually be good for us.
Last minute here with Brady Bonsall, UNK cross-country coach. The schedule is not packed. You get basically 2 weeks off before each race. You've got 5 races, and 2 of those are conference and regionals. As you get ready to improve, I know when you go to the Rimrock Classic down in Lawrence, Kansas, that's going to be a big race. What about what's in front of you here in the next couple of meets?
Yeah, well, and our schedule is stretched out. It's the same number of meets as we have in the past. It's just that where the regional meet is taking place 2 weeks later than normal because of a sports festival this fall, which again is once every 4 years. It really stretches our season out, and so yeah, the races aren't as compressed together as they typically are. We'll go to KU this next week, and I think there's maybe 14 schools there, so it's not a huge meet. About half of them are Division I schools. There'll be a few other MIAA schools there and so on. So that'll be a good one. Honestly, the Fort Hays meet 2 weeks after that might, of the first three, be the most competitive one, even though there won't be any Division I schools at that one as opposed to the first two meets. Just simply because it's a sports festival year, that third meet, the one right before conference, is the one where, honestly, all the D2 schools are kind of scrambling around looking for a meet. The sports festival complicates scheduling. So what happens with that is we're going to see Western State and Adams State and Colorado Mines and Metro and all of our old friends from the RMAC again. That pretty much is going to be an RMAC conference meet at the Fort Hays meet this year. So I'm excited about that because the competition level, particularly on the men's side, will be very high.
No doubt the top conference, as many see it, when it comes to running events, whether it's track, whether it's cross country at the Division II level. Well, Brady, I know you got class to get to, but we wanted to check in and get your thoughts on the start of the season. Looks like it's a good start, and we wish you the best of luck when you get back on the course next week.
Yep, I appreciate it, Doug. Thank you.
Thanks, Brady. Brady Bonds will join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, live from Cunningham's in Kearney. Loper cross country team keeping busy. Women finishing seventh, men third. The men, by the way, ranked fifth in the central region, and that's important because it's so stacked, and they need to find a way to qualify for the regional tournament. Let's take a look at some of the other items and sports that are going on here with UNK. There is a ton of it. First up, let's go to tennis. Sophomore Lucas Garcias and freshman Joey Richards won the Central Region men's double titles Sunday in Springfield, Missouri. The Loper men are headed to Omaha for a Division I tournament. And the women's side, Kristen Weems managed two straight set wins in singles. Emily Fink took her first round match as well. As far as soccer, UNK went 1-1 last week. The women fell to Fort Hays State 1-0 and then came back and beat Washburn 1-0. The Lopers begin a four-game road swing tomorrow at Missouri Southern State with another contest on the road Saturday. For the volleyball team, they suffered their first loss of the year Friday in a five-setter to Central Oklahoma, who remained undefeated at that time. They bounced back with a straight set win over Missouri Southern State on Saturday. And then, as we said last night, the Lopers welcomed in Emporia State and won that in a straight sets, 25-9 in the first set, then 25-23, 25-21. Kinsley DeColsti, 13 kills for the Lopers. Coach Squires doing some moving around at the libero position, wants to get the defense shored up a little bit, saying they're down on their dig total, and brings MJ Massonet back there. He's had Liz McGowan there. She stepped up, had a couple of big kills in the second set yesterday that allowed them to close on a 5-2 run and win that set. The Loper volleyball team will be at Pittsburgh State Friday night, Southwest Baptist Saturday afternoon. To put it bluntly, those should be two Loper wins. Those are not among the teams that are towards the top of the conference. Things will get a lot tougher here in the very near future for the Lopers. And of course, for the football team, as we talked with Daryl Morris yesterday, they will be looking to get in the win column at Central Missouri, who is 1-2. And of course, they played Northwest Missouri State just like the Lopers have. So UNK, Central Missouri. Central Missouri handled the Lopers very easily last year. This game on the road at 1:30 this Saturday. Lopers coming off a 34-17 loss to Missouri Southern State on Saturday. And if you want to know more about the Lopers, then check out the Loper Lunch, which will be going on tomorrow, 12 noon at the Health and Sports Center. They'll start serving lunch at 11:45. Hear from all the coaches. And by the way, UNK Athletic Department has released the men's and women's basketball schedules. They start practice on October the 15th. For the women, and women and men, there's no special exhibition game. The women will go against some of the Loper alumni on the 8th of November. And then their first two games are on the road, November 14th at Wayne State, who's always in the top 25. And then at Northern State the next day, the home opener, Midland University on the 17th. The Loper women stay very busy in the month of November. They have six games before conference play begins in December. On the other side of that, the men only have two games in November. They will open up the season. No exhibition game as of yet. They'll host Colorado Mines on the 15th of November, followed by Chadron State. So notably, Nebraska Kearney not playing the University of Nebraska, which they've done on either the men's or particularly the women's side for a number of years. And that is our Loper Link. Call Russ Smith at Charterwest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans. And for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons they have the loans at Charterwest National Bank. There's some funny things going on out there. The Ryder Cup, of course, gets underway on Friday. And the tension, if that's the right word, starting to build, as the story on ESPN.com says, Phil Mickelson can needle a guy as good as anybody. And he says, well, not only are we able to play together, we also don't litigate against each other. And that's a real plus, I feel, heading into the week. Of course, Rory McIlroy and Graham McDowell, longtime friends, have acknowledged their relationship has been strained by an ongoing lawsuit involving both of those players. So that's kind of the side story at the Ryder Cup that gets underway in Gleneagles, Scotland on Friday morning. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Danny Show. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, will join us. We'll talk in high school football, where we were last week, what's coming up with some good games this week. Of course, we'll have Sean Callahan of Husker Online joining us towards the end of the program. It is our Husker Lunch live here at Cunningham's Journal, the Loft and Courtyard. Lots of things going on at Cunningham's today. So join us for the Husker Lunch from 12 to 1. Talk to Sean. Hear what's been going on. Recruiting, Miami, Illinois, Big Ten, injuries, and the latest, which we'll get to. You knew this was going to happen sometime, and we now have a story on it. Nebraska environmentalist starts a petition to stop the release of balloons at Husker games. We'll take a break. Back with more from Cunningham's after this.
What does success look like for you? Maybe it's time to start something new at Complete Nutrition, a clean, comfortable place where you can discuss your health and nutritional needs on a personal level. It's more than just a store. It's an experience. Want a supplement plan that works with your lifestyle? For mature men, there's TrueForm from Complete Nutrition. This daily metabolism-boosting multivitamin has everything you need for long-term wellness. TrueForm supports heart health, a better prostate, energy, mood, memory, and reinvigorates male vitality. TrueForm Power and Performance, a multivitamin for men. Complete Nutrition. Success starts here.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island near Gordman's. Call 382-8663. And in Kearney on North 2nd Avenue. For free shipping, call 338-1348.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Partly cloudy skies for today with our winds out of the south 5 to 10. Highs will reach into the mid-80s. Tonight, mostly clear skies, south winds 5 to 10, lows in the middle 50s. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatrow. Right now it's 66 degrees.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation here at Cunningham's for our Husker Lunch, where Wednesday your lunch special is 8 delicious wings for only $5. Thursday's beer and a pub burger for only $6.49. They have lunch specials dinner specials, the lunch specials each and every day, open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 10 p.m. They are here and ready to roll at Cunningham's Journal, the loft and courtyard. Even the last time I had a little something here, didn't need a big meal, went with the French dip sliders, very tasty. So maybe you just want a starter, maybe you want a big meal, maybe you want something in between, or as we usually see here at Cunningham's, a good group of friends or family getting together and getting some pretzel bites, some Journal bites, cheese balls, whatever you want, maybe an appetizer plate to get you started. And of course, don't forget happy hour from 3 to 6, where big ass beers are $3.50 and well drinks are only $1.50. That's 3 to 6 weekdays. And if you're ready to escape ordinary, the place to be is Cunningham's Journal, where we are, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney, north side of the Bricks. Come in and enjoy lunch today or anytime. And it's our Husker Lunch. Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com will be joining us a little bit later on in the program, and then chatting with the folks here, hopefully you, from 12 until 1. But now it's that special time of Wednesday.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Danny Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report. He's got game.
And I start with this story because I know this is something that will guarantee me a chuckle from Bob Jensen, even if it isn't the greatest day in the world. And I haven't talked yet with Robert this morning. But, Bob, a Nebraska environmentalist has started a petition urging Nebraska officials to end their tradition of releasing thousands of red Husker balloons after the first touchdown of every Husker football game. And you know where we're going here. The practice kills wildlife, polluting Nebraska and states thousands of miles away. This is not a tradition worth keeping if we love Nebraska, our home, according to Ben Vogt, or as he goes by, Benjamin Vogt. And Bob, I know that tradition really was almost lost during the Callahan era.
Like so many other traditions, Duda, you're right, it was. Well, you know, Benjamin, I'm sure, is a well-intentioned person, and he's wrong. We shouldn't mess with that. To be honest, we kind of took care of that for ourselves there, basically, for a stretch. Wasn't a whole lot of balloon lifting, but everybody's got a cause. Okay, that's Benjamin's cause. I kind of like the balloons. I'd like to keep them.
Well, let's hope that it stays that way. And, of course, you only release them once a game, but Big Red has been scoring quite a few points, and they're getting some help from some high school kids that we have seen play over the last handful of years, Bob. And just your thoughts maybe as we transition back to high school, because we know we've got a lot of kids that are going to be going on to that next level either this year or next year that are currently playing. But it's always fun to see the guys that you thought might be able to step up getting the job done, whether it's at Nebraska or elsewhere at Division One level.
Trevor Roach, you know, Trevor Roach just is a little playmaker, you know, and he's just been dinged up. He's not been completely available a lot the last couple of years, but that kid is always around the ball. And there's a good example, but you know, everybody knows this, or almost everybody knows the story about the walk-on program, dude, and how it primes the pump for our program. We always have a considerable number of Nebraska kids who, quote-unquote, aren't Division I material, who wind up going down there and making contributions. And that is the great news. The flip side to that is here we sit with a player like Tanner Borkhart, 6'8", 285, clearly a Division I player. He's got half a dozen scholarship offers already, and one of them will not be from Nebraska. He's already been told that. His only option would be to walk on, and he's not going to do it. So cuts both ways, but no doubt I'm just like everybody else that follows Nebraska high school or the Huskers. It's nice when the two come together and kid makes a play on national TV.
Well, Bob, let's take a look at where we are at. If they haven't started district play, most teams will do so this week. And that's different now for Class C. I think some people may not catch this until it's right in front of them here. Explain the change with going to the 9 games. You're going to have that possibility of a team win a district and maybe keep a team that's in the top 16 wildcard points out. There's a there's a rare chance that'll happen, but I'm going to guarantee that somewhere, whether this year or next, it will happen in C1 or C2 or possibly Dion down the road. And that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I don't know how rare that's going to be. I mean, I would think something like that would be a yearly occurrence, frankly. And we're taking just 16 teams. There is very little wiggle room. And I've heard it, you've heard it from coaches. You know, you get here with these, even after 3-4 weeks of play, you know, you just can't take any chances. And speaking of Borkhardt, you know, I interviewed him this week for Huskerland. The story will be on the web, be in the paper this week. And, you know, Tanner, you know, their season basically got turned upside down. You know, he talked specifically about they need to run the table. They're 1-3, and they've got to win that district. They've got to beat Cozad on Friday night for starters, and then keep winning, or they're not going to get in. Whereas in past years, with the 32 teams, you know, they could be a game over 500, or maybe right at 500 and get in. So it will be different, and I'm curious to see. I do agree with you, Doug. I haven't heard a lot of talk about that. And I think that reality is going to come crashing down on some folks here in the next couple of weeks.
Talking with Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, here on the Doug and Daddy Show, live from our Husker Lunch here at Cunningham's Journal. Come on in and grab lunch, whether it's right now or a little bit closer to noon. And Sean Callahan will join us a little bit later on in the program, then speak from 12 to 1. We'll be a little bit homers this week, real close to home. We'll start with the Kearney Catholic Cozad game, a rematch of Cozad's toughest game last year. And this one almost played out identically. Kearney Catholic got the lead. Cozad tries to make a late charge, but Cozad hit on big plays. Bob, you got to see a little of this. What were your impressions?
Kearney Catholic beat Cozad up. They physically beat Cozad up. You know, Connor Young proved once again, you know, Cozad's Connor Young. He's a senior. People that follow it, he's a senior. He's an all-stater. Kid's just got a wonderful ability for big plays. And he made a couple of them to keep Cozad in the game, but I'm telling you, it was just Nathan Howe, hand the ball to Nathan. I could have played quarterback, no offense, John Masker. I could have played quarterback for Kearney Catholic the other night. Just turn around, hand the ball off to 27, have him get up behind that big old offensive line and just knock the stuffing out of the Cozad defense. It was pretty simple. I mean, there wasn't, you know, they did some of the, you know, some of the spread sets and whatever. I mean, just they did. I don't know why. I suppose just to keep in practice. But then they bring it in tight and just hand it to Howe, and he just, you know, he was a man the other night. And you know, 30 carries, that's a lot of carries for a high school kid. He made money on every one of them.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. I'm going to go up the hill to Kearney High. Your thoughts on the Bearcats, because they really, I think, have been taking care of business a little bit better than folks had thought. I'm not sure that everybody thought that they would have the record that they have, especially after taking Grand Island to the wire in week one. They've got a couple of Lincoln teams the next 2 weeks. Nobody in Lincoln seems to be playing good football, let alone great football. So the Bearcats have a chance to be really, really good here. Your thoughts on them?
Well, that is true. You know, when you lose your first game, it doesn't really matter who you lose to or how you lose it. You know, people can tend to get thrown off the scent a little bit. But the bottom line is Kearney always has a good football team. They always have athletes. They may not have as many some years, and that's when they rely on the coaching of assistant Steve Cherry. Steve has told me to bring that up as often as I possibly can do it. Brandon Cool has a little something to say about it. It's mainly Cherry's program, and they just win. I mean, that's just how it is. They win, and you're right. Lincoln football is not in good shape. I'll be honest. I thought maybe there would be a little bit of a bounce back this year. Southwest was going to be the standard bearer. It has not played well against good teams. And Southeast, I mean, it's pretty shocking. They're 1-3, and it's not a good 1-3. You know, Kearney's going to be in great position the next couple weeks, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see them finish the regular season with something like 8-1.
Bob, how do Kearney and Grand Island stack up with the upper tier teams in Omaha that you have seen?
Well, they're a step below that. I mean, really, Omaha North. I watched them against Bellevue West, and it was stunning because Bellevue West. First of all, Omaha North's defense played great that night. They really made Bellevue West look bad. I mean, they confused the quarterback, made some plays, And even with 17 penalties, and I can't remember how many turnovers, something like three, four, something like that, they still scored 62 points. Now, they played Prep this week, and there's a real good chance that, that game is also going to go into the 40s, two great offenses. But you got right now, it would appear, Omaha North, Prep, and Millard North, who somehow seems to get just a little bit overlooked. I don't know if people are just tired of Millard North always being so good. But they're a step ahead. Grand Island is going to win with his defense because it always does. Got a really good quarterback in Pierce Allman. They can make some plays on offense, and then Kearney is just going to beat you with his athleticism, and they're going to win a lot of games. And to get the right draw, you could see one, maybe both of them even in the possibility of being in the semifinals. I think it might be tough to do much more than that, but those are two legitimately good teams. They're just maybe a step below the top-end teams in Omaha.
Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report. Just a couple more thoughts on last week before we move on to this week. There's always a couple of feel-good stories out there, teams that have struggled. And as we mentioned, thank goodness SEM won a football game on the field. Then the NSAA says, no, your exchange student didn't have the paperwork correct, which obviously didn't have anything to do with the kid or the football team, so they make them forfeit. Then they overturn that and say, we'll make sure that everything gets taken care of. So their losing streak is snapped. But then you get a team like Red Cloud. They're off to a 3-0 start, Bob, and even though Red Cloud hasn't won a lot of games lately and they may not win this weekend, it's nice to see them, among other programs, and you might have a couple more for me, that have got off to good starts here.
It is awesome. It is just simply awesome what's gone on at Red Cloud. And frankly, I talked to Coach Jason Helt earlier this week, and classic small school football success story. Senior class stuck it out. A bunch of them got thrown in there as freshmen. One of them is Wyatt Bell, their quarterback, who's a really good dual-threat quarterback. I mean, really, he could play for an awful lot of eight-man teams and be the starter and do very well. But the coach was telling me the kid walks out his first varsity football game at, 140 pounds, knees knocking, looks across the line of scrimmage, and looking back at him is Drew Ott. No, that is no way to start your high school career. But those guys have got three wins. Bell has turned out to be a player. They've got 10 seniors on that team. They had 10 freshmen come in. They've all stayed. Nobody's quit. And now this is the payoff. They've got three wins. They're going to have their hands full against Meridian. Meridian, Brandon Jackson, one of my favorite kids I've ever interviewed, is one of the really good, under-known running backs in eight-man. And the other two that are of note, Superior, 32 games in a row they lost. They won last week against Thayer Central 28-26. The difference was four extra point kicks, and that may not seem like that big a deal, except for the fact that until that game, Superior had never kicked an extra point. That week in practice, they had a little extra time, said, hey, let's see if one of you guys can kick an extra point. Turns out they've got a guy. He kicks four of them, and Superior wins his first game since 2010. And then up north, Boyd County, that program had gone through two winless seasons in a row and had lost his first couple games. The two programs that make it up are Lynch and West Boyd schools, and those two schools were winless the year before. So as I just wrote, that losing streak was either 18, 26, or 34 games, depending on how you slice it.
Bob Jensen with us here on Husker Line Prep Report of the Doug and Daddy Show, live at Cunningham's, our Husker Lunch today. Sean Callahan, our guest. Be sure to come on down if you can. Enjoy some lunch. Talk Husker football from noon to 1. So let's get into this week 5 rapid fire, as we always do. Bob, I'll throw out a couple games here maybe in each class and see what you think on it. We've discussed the Class A and what's coming up for Kearney and Grand Island. So in Class B, I'll start with the annual battle between McCook and Aurora. And then you have got the surprising Vikings of Grand Island Northwest with a key game all the way out at Scotts Bluff.
McCook and Aurora is a great game. I mean, it truly is. Aurora is not as good as McCook, I don't think. We'll find out for sure, but I don't think they're as good. They're going to have to make something happen. Colton Siff is back from injury this week for McCook. As far as Northwest goes, they stepped in it against McCook. That happens. The rest of the time, they're busy scoring a lot of points. More people need to know about Christian Ellsworth. The kid is fantastic at quarterback. They've got a puncher's chance to beat Scott's Bluff, especially if the score gets up high.
C1, can Cozad bounce back? The Cozad-Gothenburg game looked way bigger at the beginning of the season than maybe it does right now, and maybe it's big now, as you said, Borchardt saying they need to run the table. Well, that means they got to take care of Cozad down the road. And then I'll throw another one at you here because I think Central City, Grand Island Central Catholic could be more evenly matched than people think, and if you lose this game, your playoff hopes are probably bye-bye.
Yeah, well, exactly. I'm not so sure. You know, the psychology of football is, it changes with every outcome. And I'm not so sure Gothenburg isn't more dangerous at 1-3 than it would have been at 3-1. Cozad, you know, the one thing that saves Cozad is that this is about as intense a rivalry as there is. And it's not like people say, oh, it's the parents. Well, it might be the parents, but the kids kind of like to get after it too. I think Cozad is going to find a way to win this game. But I look for it to be an outstanding ball game. And as far as Central City and Central Catholic goes, you know, that does look different than it did 4 weeks ago. Central City's been scoring a ton of points when they're not playing Columbus SCOTUS. Mitch Carlson and a whole bunch of receivers have been racking up incredible yards. I looked at the stats earlier. Carlson leads Class C1 passing by over 250 yards, and that's after just four games. The one thing, the thing is, you still have to beat the helmet, and Central City's got to find a way to beat those kids that are wearing the Central Catholic helmet. Among them being Johanna Gaifon, who is not only an exceptional talent and a kid that's going to go to Wyoming. That is one of the funniest kids I've ever interviewed. That guy is a riot.
Well, in C2, we have got a lot of rivalry games this weekend, and the publicity is on this Wood River-Gibbon game where it seems like Gibbon definitely has the upper hand here, but with Bobby Bowden coming in and a national Max Preps coming in, that's going to get a lot of publicity. I'll throw a couple more out here, but can that game live up to the hype? Then you've got Donovan Trumbull, Hastings, St. Cecilia. St. Cecilia looks like the Hawks of old. And then maybe the outside of Nebraska and Class A football might have had the biggest attendance of any game in the state. St. Pat's and Hershey, they match back up. So you got three kind of different matchups there.
Well, you know, good for the people at Gibbon and Wood River to get this kind of national publicity. That is awesome. Gibbon's going to win that game, and they're probably going to win it pretty handily. Gibbon is another one of those really maybe, I don't want to say underappreciated, but I don't think people understand. Gibbon football has been winning, and winning a lot, actually, the last 3 or 4 years under Coach McLaughlin, and doing it with a very, very limited roster. It's a good football team. They got a real good chance of winning that district this year, and they'll win that game. As far as St. Pat's and Hershey, that is true. That's one of the most magical nights, dude, I have ever been involved at a high school game. It was sensational. Two undefeated teams, blah blah blah. Turned out to be a great night. 3,000 people in attendance. I don't know. Hershey seems to have shown signs of life. And if there's one thing they want to do, their Super Bowl is to beat St. Pat's. I think St. Pat's is probably a little too good for that to happen, but a Hershey win would not necessarily be an upset. And you're right, St. Cecilia looks like St. Cecilia. They got those young kids, those sophomores that are really adding some oomph to the offense and some real depth to their overall attack. Again, Donovan Trumbull will be playing its Super Bowl against St. Cecilia. And, their only problem is they lost to St. Pat's. I don't know. I think it's St. Cecilia's game to win, but I expect it to be good, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see there be quite a few points scored in it.
Yeah, I'm surprised so far how the season's played out because I thought Donovan Trumbull was the better football team and St. Pat's just hit a couple of big plays that night, but it seems like St. Pat's has exploded since that night. And also in C2, Sutton, Sandy Creek, Loup City, Ravenna just adding to some rivalry games in Class D1 and D2, Bob. For local teams, I think we're going to see a lot of lopsided games this week, a lot of running clocks out there, but one where I don't think that that's going to happen and is going to say a lot about who is in charge in D2, Giltner, Exeter, Milligan.
Well, the scoreboard may explode at Exeter, but or Milligan, I guess it is, but that'll be it. You know, by now it's old news, but then I kind of, live in old news. So, but, you know, BDS thumped Giltner. Well, it turns out the Hastings kid didn't play that night. I only found that out in the last few days. And, you know, BDS might very well be, we have him ranked number one in D1. So I don't know that there's any shame in that. Exeter Milligan is going to, you know, again, a state champion program that lost, you know, four All-Staters. But the one guy they didn't lose was my buddy Kyle Jensen. And I'm telling you what, there are some people who just have, I wrote about that this week too. There are some people that just have a way. They have a knack. They have the ability to be in the right place at the right time and make the money play. And Kyle does that. Now, I don't know. Exeter Milligan really got my attention with the way they thumped Kennesaw, which is turning out to be a very good team, as expected. But I think this is going to be one of those deals where it's a six-point game, one way or the other. If I had to pick somebody, do I have to pick somebody, dude? I forget.
No, you don't have to.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I think Giltner's going to find a way to win that. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be a great game. You're right. That is absolutely the headliner in eight-man this week.
Well, get out and watch some great football like Bob and I will be doing this weekend. We're going to be all around the area, as always, week five of the high school football season. Some great games out there, and we chat about them with Bob every Wednesday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Well, Robert, thanks for a little extra time with us on today's program, and enjoy your week.
Yeah, you too, dude. I get to hear the silvery tones while I'm out doing my thing on Friday night. You're going to stay on the varsity for another week, it would seem. So,
hey,
I'm just saying.
And later on, I'm going to go release some balloons into the air.
Good boy.
See
thanks a lot, dude.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. He'll make his predictions in Huskerland Prep. Hopefully you get the subscription. If you don't, contact the office in Central City. Go online to Huskerland Preps. That's Huskerland Preps with an S, .rivals.com, and you can see the predictions and see the news and notes every single day, constantly updating what's going on in the world of high school football in the state of Nebraska, and of course, when it gets to the winter sports season, basketball as well. Folks, there will be a benefit for accident survivor Lori Gard this Saturday from 5 to 8 at the George Spencer Tasting Room in Gibbon. Live music by Broke Loose, a silent auction, food provided by Adams Corner Market. If you were wondering when and where all that is going on, getting you led up to the Illinois-Nebraska game on Saturday night. If you are no Lori in the family, we hope you have some time to get there. The benefit for Lori Gard Saturday, this Saturday, 5 to 8 at the George Spencer Tasting Room in Gibbon. Live music, Broke Loose, silent auction, and food provided by Adams Corner Market. We are here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth and getting ready for Sean Callahan of Husker Online to join us, talk a little Big Red football. We'd love you to come down on this Wednesday and join us for our Husker lunch. As you get close to the lunch hour, folks starting to filter in. Glad to see their smiling faces. We want to see yours as well. Talking Miami, talking Illinois, Big Ten, David Santos injury. What else is going on with the Huskers in recruiting, and answering your questions with Sean Callahan at 12 noon. And we'll be back to Cunningham's, where the Wing Special is their Wednesday special right after this.
Hi, this is Michelle Henke, Executive Director of the United Way of South Central Nebraska, and I invite you to get connected. In an effort to increase connections and relationships between local agencies and community members, the United Way of South Central Nebraska offers an online system called Get Connected. You simply log on to UnitedWaySCNE.org to start your journey. Get Connected is an amazing tool for finding resources, events, and volunteer opportunities. For details, call us at 402-461-8412.
Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Hi, Sean Callahan here. I'm excited to tell you about a company I'm working with that will finally bring you the internet experience you've been waiting for. I'm talking about a company that is so reliable, so dependable, and has such amazing local customer service that you'll be wondering why people haven't done business like this before. Prairie iNet Fixed Wireless Internet will change the way you experience your world. Let's talk about their amazing technology. They have the largest fixed wireless network in the U.S., and because of this, they can pass their savings on to you. That means finally having reliable internet at a price you can afford. Another perk, no contracts. With Prairie iNet, you won't sign a contract ever. I've personally met the people at Prairie iNet. You can trust that you'll be getting a better internet experience, and more importantly, you can trust them. Mention my name, Sean Callahan, and you'll get a $100 Visa gift card and free installation for just signing up. Call Prairie iNet right now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
At First National Bank, we believe customer interactions are based on relationships, not transactions. That's why we created First National Checking, to prove our commitment to you and the community. This is not a one-time offer, but a demonstration of our ongoing dedication to put customers first. No hidden fees, no surprises, no hoops to jump through. For honest banking with no strings attached, visit one of our offices today. First National Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, live at Cunningham's. And folks, if you're thinking about a new pivot irrigation system, now for a limited time, T&L Irrigation is offering their Harvest Special $5 per foot discount, which means you can save up to $6,500 when you buy a quarter-mile long T&L pivot. You're guaranteed to get decades of reliability with your T&L pivot system. You're getting ready for harvest. You see what's been going on in the field. Maybe it's time to get yours that you have from T&L in. Schedule your appointment today for winterization. Maybe it's time to get another pivot. Maybe it's time to change your pivots. And T&L right now doesn't want you to miss out on their Harvest Special $5 per foot discount. Visit them on their website at TLIRR.com for more information, or to find your local T&L dealer who will go over everything and every question that you could possibly have. T&L Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works. As we say every Wednesday here at Cunningham's for our Husker Lunch, folks starting to filter in. We'd love to hear from you. Love to have you stop by. Even if you can't be here the whole hour, pop in, grab some appetizers, grab a burger, grab some salad, whatever, pizza. It's all there for you. Host of sandwiches. I'm going with the skewers today, which I just absolutely love. Try them out here at Cunningham's. And Sean Callahan will be with us from 12 to 1, but he's with us now on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to be back in Kearney here for my first lunch this year.
Yeah, you guys have been keeping busy, you and Sip, traveling around the state, and we're kind of proud that this was one of the first stops that kind of got all of this going. But I'm interested from you, since we have a couple extra minutes here before we get to 12 noon, how is the state of Nebraska feeling right now? We get the question in the offseason, you know, what's Nebraska feel about the football team right now since they haven't made a big charge and have been nine wins, 10 wins, or four losses? What are you getting from Beatrice, Fremont, some of your other spots?
Well, I think it's an optimism, but it's a cautious optimism right now. People are excited. Nebraska has played well. That one McNeese State game kind of gave everybody flashbacks of some of the problems they've had the last five, 6 years with consistency. But I still think there's excitement. And, you know, Nebraska, if they can take care of business this week, we're going to have that big game feel for Michigan State. And they haven't had that type of a feel where they're 5-0, 6-0 going into a game in a while. And I think that's a real opportunity. There's a shot College Game Day could be in East Lansing. You know, it's hard to say. There's some big SEC games that weekend. I think Alabama and Ole Miss play. Mm-hmm. And Game Day's never been to Oxford, so that could easily be a spot to go to as well for them. But I just think there's a lot of excitement, a lot of optimism. You know, is this team perfect? I don't think so. But They've proven, I think, that they are a complete offense. In some ways, this is the offense we thought we were going to see last year with Nebraska.
Sean, we were talking about this yesterday on the program. Now that they are 4-0 and have done what many people thought that they should be able to do, and that was go 4-0, Has your thoughts, your perception of Nebraska and this football team changed? And if it has from the beginning of the year, in what areas?
No, I mean, at the beginning of the year, I thought Nebraska would win the division, and I still believe that now, especially now that we've seen the division play four games. Iowa, before last Saturday, had two plays longer than 20 yards the entire season. Wisconsin has a freshman quarterback that's been very inconsistent, really, other than that LSU game. It's hard to read Wisconsin because they haven't played anybody great. But I still feel like Nebraska, if they put it all together, stay healthy, they should win this division. I don't care if they have to go on the road for four tough road games in the Big Ten. They are the most talented team in the West, in my opinion, and it's going to take an awful lot to convince me that they're not.
Yeah, I didn't disagree with you on that at all. I just simply went when I made my pick and took Iowa on the schedule, and maybe now the schedule, who knows, maybe not as tough. They still have to play those games on the road, and Coach Pelini's teams have always gotten better at the end of the season, so that's one cool thing about it. But each week we come out of the ball game with a question mark in one area. A couple of weeks ago, O-line, they step up. Today it's linebacker Santos injured. A lot of people disconcerted with maybe Josh Banderas and a couple of the other guys. It seems like every week there's one area that you can point to. Biggest concern right now on this team is what?
Yeah, I would say linebacker, just because the way Nebraska's scheme works, a lot of teams have figured out, let's space the linebacker out and make them make plays. And you saw Miami do it with Duke Johnson, whether it was to try to expose Josh Banderas in the open field and force some coverage issues, tackling issues. And now with David Santos probably out this week, that's another man down at linebacker without Michael Rose and Santos. I mean, those are two of your starters at that position group. So I think that is what I worry about on the defense. And, still the depth on the defensive line, they have a great solid four or five guys there, but the next three or four guys are significantly, it's a drop off in that respect. So I think the offense has everything rolling right now. There's not a lot to be critical about offensively. I think defensively is where you'd like to maybe see the improvements here in Big Ten play.
I think Tommy Armstrong's done a great job. He was my biggest question mark coming into the fall, and he's been great, might be over the top, but he's been solid. He's been effective. He's made a couple mistakes with the McNeese State pick, but nobody's perfect out there. Let's get to what Illinois could do, and folks, come on down to Cunningham's, our Husker Lunch. Sean Callahan will be here in about 10 minutes. We'll turn it over here, and the crowd continuing to file in for this Wednesday lunch. We're going into Big Ten. Illinois, Bill Cubitt, he's going to join us tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. Nothing short maybe of an offensive wizard, offensive genius almost. Some people believe your thoughts on what Illinois can do, because I think they'll score some points.
Well, this is the third time for Bo Pelini he's faced Bill Cubitt. You go back to 2008, Nebraska played Western Michigan when he was the coach there for that team, and so there is a familiarity with him and what he does. And then the one common theme is you're gonna see something new you've never seen before. Last year he came out with, I was like, a funky formation with all offensive linemen or whatever it was on the field that caused a little bit of problem for Nebraska. But obviously Nebraska still handled Illinois. They're very multiple. This Ferguson guy is a running back that can catch the ball. He can run the ball. And Wes Lund is a talented quarterback. I just don't know if he has the receivers. And, they don't have really the speed of a Miami to expose Nebraska. I don't think they have the offensive line. Miami had a pretty good offensive line when you look at what they were able to do pass protection-wise for a lot of that game. But if Nebraska just stays on point, they should be able to handle Illinois and cover the 19-point spread.
Well, that's just it. If there are trap games, this is a trap game. There's no doubt Nebraska should cover the spread here, but Michigan State next week coming off Miami. Finally, before we let you grab a sandwich here and then talk to the folks, how big was it to get done what they got done on Saturday? I mean, Miami takes the first series, bang, right down the field, and I know the hearts start beating a little faster, but Nebraska controlled it. Even though it was close for quite a while, they controlled it after that.
That's been kind of the anomaly with this whole season on defense. The first series in all of the games, really, teams have had success moving the ball. McNeese State did, Florida Atlantic did, and Nebraska's been able to adjust. And I think that's one of the positives you can take out of that. They've maybe started out poor, given up a touchdown, but the staff has made great adjustments. One of the things they did Saturday was they switched to zone defense. They've never done that before. And middle of the play, they just said, all right, go to man, switch to zone. and it led to Josh Kalu's interception. I think it's Kalu is what I've been told now. Joshua Kalu, his interception. Byerson Cockrell about got one there. He should have had it. Nathan Geary had a pick that got called off. I mean, I just thought some of the adjustments they made really made this defense make plays in those key moments.
How many times did you smile, not as a media person, but as a Husker kid growing up, just watching everything that took place on, off the field, the skirmishes, the tunnel walk, the atmosphere from this past Saturday?
Yeah, it was a special day. Those fights, I don't care who you are, that gets your blood going or just gets you fired up and excited to see the benches clear. And, you know, you just don't see that very often. I can't remember ever seeing that in a Nebraska game, let alone twice. But then that final goal line stand, Miami had the ball trying to stick one in there at the end. And you would have thought it was to win the game the way 91,000 people stayed in their seats. And the final minute, up 17 points there. And, you know, Bo Pelini kind of played to the crowd there. He called the double Mike linebacker blitz on that fourth down. If he would have got to the quarterback there and blitzed him and brought him down, the place would have gone nuts. I mean, it would have been probably as loud as we would have heard the stadium all night.
It would have been Alex Henry, Jordan Westerkamp loud. Well, Sean, we'll see you in a couple of weeks, but we'll turn you over here to the folks at Cunningham's with all the information, recruiting, and a whole lot more. So talk to you in a bit.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Sean Callahan joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show live. At Cunningham, still room for you. Come on in and join us for lunch today. Even if you can't get here till 12:15 or 12:30, they're still going to be going on till about 1 o'clock with Sean, and we'd love to have you come in and join us today. We'll take a final break, but first, our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Yesterday, we asked you which NFL team will be the last undefeated team, and there's only amazingly three undefeated teams remaining, and it was pretty evenly split. 44% Bengals, 33% Eagles, 22% Cardinals. I think I went, did I go Eagles yesterday? I don't remember, Jeffrey. I think I went Eagles, and they're the only one of those three that play this week. The Bengals and Cardinals are on a bye, but if the Eagles can win at San Francisco, then you got the Rams, the Giants, and a bye, and they could get well into week 7 and 8 with possibility of being undefeated. But today, the Midtown Mart cooler question, which you can vote on at ESPNSuperstation.com. The Ryder Cup being played on European soil. Who is your pick to win the Ryder Cup? Come on, people. This is like asking, will Nebraska win on Saturday every week? Of course, it is Team USA pulling the giant upset over the European team on home soil. And that's the best thing about the Ryder Cup on foreign soil. You got live sports early in the morning that you can watch. So Team USA, that's who I'm taking. And if you're an American, the only person I can think that'll vote for Team Europe is Damon Day. Vote right now at ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll be back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth here at Cunningham's for our Husker Lunch after this.
The Kearney JCs are looking for a few good men and women. The JCs are a volunteer organization of young men and women 8 through 40 who improve themselves, their community, and the world around them. This Saturday, come on out for the Rock and Roll 5K to benefit the Kearney Tackle Center. Pre-registration is $20 or $30 before the race begins at 1 at the skate park north of Harmon Park. Then listen to Life Led Lucid playing after the race. New JCs who volunteer for any event get their first year membership for free. Doing good and having a good time doing it, that's the Kearney JCs. Check them out online at Kearney.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Every day, you struggle to attract new customers and keep the ones you have while keeping the business running and staying in a budget. Get noticed with help from Copycat Printing. Their design and printing teams can go big with banners, yard signs, even wraps for your company vehicles. They can make sure you stand out at a fair or convention with a booth that will turn heads. If you can imagine it, they can design it and print it. Copycat Printing, across from the Kearney Chicken Coop, or visit KearneyCopycat.com. Copycat Printing, a better idea.
At First National Bank, we believe customer interactions are based on relationships, not transactions. That's why we created First National Checking, to prove our commitment to you and the community. This is not a one-time offer, but a demonstration of our ongoing dedication to put customers first. No hidden fees, no surprises, no hoops to jump through. For honest banking with no strings attached, visit one of our offices today. First National Bank, member FDIC.
Doug and Daddy's show, wrapping up a Wednesday live portion here from Cunningham's, and then Sean Callahan grabs the microphone here at Callahan's or at Cunningham's to talk Big Red football and the Huskers, where they've been in the non-conference, the win over Miami, Big Ten football as a whole, the opener with Illinois on Saturday, recruiting injuries, and where the Huskers are. The Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth is always with us when we're on the road, and if you're looking to get on the road to possibly a new career or a new job, Midway has openings for you. They are growing. They are expanding. Their business continues to grow, and Midway needs you. No experience is necessarily needed. They'll train you if you're looking to move into the new and used car business, and not necessarily to be just a salesperson either, folks. You can go to their specific website to see job openings, job descriptions, maybe even take a look at what they have in store for you when it comes to benefits and such. And that is MidwayCareers.com. MidwayCareers.com. Looking to make a life-changing career move? Well, Midway is growing, seeking motivated and enthusiastic individuals. They're growing and in search of quality team players. See a full list of jobs and apply online even at MidwayCareers.com. Midway, it's a better way. Last minute here, I see a good crowd that continues to roll in here. Just want to let the guys at Gary Lushen's table know that he can go ahead and buy lunch today. So we'll see if he gets that job done as well. Lizzie Stratton Memorial Run, don't forget that is Sunday, 5 o'clock at Yanny Park. Go to KearneyCatholic.org for registration information or just show up between 4 and 5 at Yanny. 5K run and walk is at 5 o'clock. The kids' 1 mile fun run is at 6 o'clock for the Lizzie Stratton Memorial Run. A couple of things that you may or may not heard of. Boyd Epley is back at the University of Nebraska, Assistant Athletic Director for Strength and Conditioning. He'll oversee everything except football because they're already set there. He started at the university back in 1969 and will retired in 2006. Also, Nebraska volleyball tonight. They open Big Ten play hosting Iowa, 7 o'clock. The Hastings College volleyball team is on the road at Concordia, currently ranked 18th. In the country. Hastings College men's soccer team plays at home today. The women knocked off 14th-ranked Benedictine yesterday. UNK golf team, I may have even forgot to get to this in Loper Link, had it in the wrong pile here, but the women win the Shadron State Invitational, and Anna Summers was the individual champion. UNK men 14th out of 18th at the Northeastern State Classic down in Oklahoma. Well, folks, that's going to wrap things up for our portion of the Doug and Daddy Show today. Hopefully, you'll enjoy a beautiful Wednesday. If you get a chance, come on down and join us for our Husker lunch. Sean Callahan in about 5 minutes talking Husker football here. Tomorrow, we're going to head to Bandits and Grand Island to see our friends over in GI. Get ready for some Thursday night football between the Giants and Redskins. We'll also answer your fantasy football questions with Luke Hoover of RotoWire, and Illinois offensive coordinator Bill Cubitt will join us. We'll talk Ryder Cup. Steve Anderson from Fauner Park will be our co-host. Again, want to thank our guests today, UNK cross-country and track coach Brady Bonzel, Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report, and Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com. For our producer-engineer, Jeff Babel, I'm Doug Dudas saying thanks for joining us as we get ready for our Husker lunch here at Cunningham.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!